That song, if I'm not mistaken, is called the Triune Prayer. If you notice, the verses speak of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and then unifies them in the last verse. And any gospel that does not take in the work of the triune God is not the gospel of God our Savior. And with that in mind, I want you to turn back once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where we've been looking at verse 30. Where Paul talks about how God has made Christ unto us all of our salvation. He says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom? We looked at how God is the initiator and the accomplisher, and how He has made Christ unto us wisdom. And righteousness. We saw that last week. And this morning it says, and sanctification. Christ is made unto us sanctification. I keep calling my thoughts back to that one beginning thought. When I look at each and every one of them, it's God who did it. He made Christ unto us these things. And He made them to us particularly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the church. Not in religion in general. But in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would be of good thinking this morning. And the only way we're ever of good thinking is for the Spirit of God to grant us good thinking. But we would be of good thinking this morning to remember that it is God who hath made Christ Himself these things to us before God. You know, sometimes I marvel at how men miss the simplicity. Paul spoke of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Sinners can complicate, they can distort, they can make error the greatest truth of God. And they will do it. And they have done it apart from His grace. And one thing I think is brought to bear in all of these things is just we ought to ask ourselves the question, is what John said really true? Writing in his gospel, writing in his epistles about the Lord Jesus Christ being everything to us, but we'll ask ourselves the question, is what Paul said really true? Speaking for God, he says in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, you ought to mark this down. He says, for in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. This is what He says. This is what God says through the apostle. And ye are complete in Him. Now, is that true or is it not? You are complete in Him. And this being true, it cannot be a progressive thing. It just can't be. If Christ is made unto us sanctification, then that leaves out all progressiveness, especially on our part. He's made unto us sanctification, and a denial of this and an emphasis on progressiveness in salvation is a denial of the gospel. It's a denial of what plain scriptures just like this say over and over again. It's a denial of the sufficiency of Christ. And when you look back at those to whom Paul wrote this epistle. Turn back and look at the first verse of chapter 1. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God. That's who this was written to. In every age following, to the church of God, the gathered out. That's what that word church means. It means assembled. Those who are gathered and assembled in Christ by the Spirit of God. This is the way Peter says it. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is written to true believers. Those who have faith because of the work of Christ, because of the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Paul, in verse 2, qualifies them further, and he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all them in every place, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Notice what it said. To them that are sanctified in Christ. And they are so sanctified in Christ, they're called saints. It doesn't say here that they're called to be saints. Those two words were added by the translator. They're called saints. Whatever a saint is, that's what they are. And that's what they have been made by God. And this is who the Bible in its entirety is written for and written to, God's elect and redeemed and regenerated people, all them that in every place call upon the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. And that doesn't mean just naming the name of Jesus Christ. I've showed you before how that to call upon the name of the Lord, like it says in the Old Testament with Abraham and everybody who called upon the name of the Lord, that means to worship God in the only way that He can be worshiped, through sacrifice, and that sacrifice being in Christ. Being Christ. It's not all who profess religion, or it's not all church members. It's not all who have a religious affiliation or are baptized, but all who truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they worship Him in the only way He can be worshiped. They worship Him as He is revealed in the truth, the gospel, the scriptures. Look over in Jude at the first verse of Jude. Even in this small book, we find this again. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified. Sanctified by God the Father. And preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He writes this to them that are sanctified. Past tense. In Christ, sanctified, past tense, done deal. Call it whatever you want to. But they are sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word sanctification in religion, even in that which is called Reformed religion, is a most abused word. In most eyes, it seems to be that they believe that it is a progressive cleaning up and improvement of the old Adam, gradually making him more pleasing and more acceptable before God. That's why they call it progressive sanctification. That by the Spirit and by the Word, they will be taken over a course of their life to improve more and more, deal with the sinful nature more and more, to the extent that they will progress in holiness so as to be ready to enter into God's heaven. We progress, they say, to become more like Christ. But that's a lie. I don't know of any other way to say it. That's a lie. That's not the experience of any true believer. As a matter of fact, it seems like that's the opposite of our experience. And I think that every regenerated sinner is like was pictured with the corn that Christ described, who at the first stood green and tall and lush, but as it grew more mature, every ear bowed down to the ground. That's how we are. That's what Paul said. In his writing, so long after the Lord was pleased to bring him to the knowledge of the truth in Christ, he's still crying out, even more so crying out, "O wretched man that I am." Was he becoming more sanctified? Was he becoming more holy? Was he becoming more fit in himself to enter into glory? Was he more pleasing in himself to God? Absolutely not. He was telling the truth. He was acknowledging the reality of his own sinful flesh. He was showing that the only hope a sinner has is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must describe, we must define sanctification, which is a Bible word, by how it's used in the Bible. We don't apply our own definitions to it. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is to go to somewhere like a Bible dictionary and see how that word is defined. You better go look at the Bible and see how it's used in context, and what God says that it is. And in the Bible, it means a setting apart. It means a separating by God. It means a laying aside. It means a separation for His holy use. All you have to do is go back in the Bible, read where it's used, Old Testament, New Testament, and you will find exactly that. And especially enlightening, when you think about it, is how it is used of Christ Himself. Did the holy, perfect, sinless Son of God need to make progress as men define sanctification as progress? Will that kind of definition fit the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to this. John 10, verse 36. Christ said, "Say ye of Him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I'm the Son of God." He's describing Himself as the one that the Father sanctified. Does that mean He made Him holier? Not if He's God in flesh. Not if He's perfect, like He said. Not if He's the spotless Lamb of God. God didn't make Him better. He set Him apart. He appointed Him in the covenant of grace to be the Savior. Listen to this. John 17. Christ says, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." What is He saying there? He's saying, I set myself apart. In agreement with the Father, I set myself apart for this purpose, for this use. And we just have to ask ourselves, did the Father make Him more pure or more clean or more righteous? Did He become more pleasing or more acceptable or better or more fit for heaven? No. The Father set Him apart for this task of salvation. He set Himself apart in this matter of salvation as a covenant He had. And in Scripture, sanctification means setting apart. Did you know that the vessels of the temple were sanctified? The vessels in the tabernacle were sanctified. They were set apart, and afterwards they had to be washed. They had to be cleaned. People were appointed to wash them and clean them. Well, once they were sanctified, didn't they no longer need that? No, they were set apart for that special use in the temple. In the Old Testament, days were sanctified. The Lord sanctified days. He marked days whereby certain things were supposed to be done. He set apart days. Was one day better than the other day? I don't think so. And men were sanctified. The Levites were sanctified. Priests were sanctified. Oh, Aaron was a priest, but he had a lot of problems. He had a lot of decline. But in the Scriptures, we find the whole church of God perfectly sanctified in Christ Jesus even before the world. Set apart by God. Set apart unto Himself. Set apart to be holy before Him. Set apart His work, He doing it all. And so it shows this sanctification, this singular sanctification. It expresses it in about seven different ways. And one of them we saw there in Jude 1. We're sanctified by God the Father. I told you this salvation involves the triune God. We're sanctified by God the Father. And that's what Jude says in Jude chapter 1. Sanctified by God the Father. How did He do that? Well, in Ephesians 1, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He set us apart in the choice of election. We didn't have anything to do with that. We didn't choose to be better. We didn't choose to be saved. We didn't choose to be redeemed by Christ. We didn't make any progress in it. We didn't have anything to do with it. The Father sanctified us. He set us apart. He put us in that everlasting covenant of grace. He made Christ our surety and our Redeemer and our Lord. He did it all. Chosen not for the improvement of the old Adam nature, but to stand in the perfection of Christ, who is the Lord our righteousness, holy in his holiness, righteous through his righteousness, pure in his purity, as he is. So are we in this world. And then the Bible says this, and we're going to go by what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified by the Father, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Those are Paul's words. And sometimes I'm afraid when I say Paul said this, you might view it as just any other writer or any other person in the Scripture. No, Paul was the apostle in the New Testament who most greatly spoke of God, spoke for God. He says this in this first chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Who's a saint? When Sister Madeline passed away, in her funeral message, I quoted that scripture, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Who's a saint? Those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And that's what our verse says. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us sanctification. He not only chose us in Christ, but he sanctified us through the death of Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Paul is showing us, if he's the writer, Paul is showing us how, as he does so many times, that the law can have nothing to do with our sanctification. It had nothing to do with our sanctification in Christ. It never has anything to do with it, because the law only shows us for what we are, worse and worse in ourselves. But look at verse 1 of Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, the law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged or once cleansed, should have had no more conscience for sin, of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's what was said by the Messiah in the Old Testament. That's what's said by the Son in the New Testament, because they're the same. So Christ comes to do the Father's will. And look at this. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. It was the will of the Father before the law. In Christ Jesus, to sanctify his people. Now notice verse 10. By the which will? The will of God the Father, the will, eternal will, the will and purpose of grace, by which, the which will we are sanctified. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. The sanctifying work is not ours. It is Christ. We're holy in him. We're blameless in him. We're without spot in him. We're all fair in him. And that only by his blood and his death. But he goes on to say, and every priest standeth daily and ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. The difference in their offering and sacrifices was that they only pictured the way that God takes away sin. They never took away sin. The sanctifying work done by Christ and his sacrifice once. He took away all our sins. And then verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by Jesus Christ, who God made unto us our sanctification. He hath perfected forever. There was never, ever in any intention in this world, in this present condition, there was never any idea, never any thought by God that we would ever improve. Oh, we might receive grace and be restrained. But if you ever look for any evidence or any assurance in yourself you will be sadly disappointed. If Paul, after that long time of believing and living as a believer, if he still was crying out, "Oh, wretched man that I am," you can only answer the same way he answered. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Will it ever be improved? Will God ever give me strength by which to do something pleasing or become more acceptable or more holy?" I hate that term. More holy? What would have to happen for God not to be holy? One imperfection. What would have to happen for him to be unrighteous? One act done wrong. We are sanctified forever because Christ put away all our sins, made an end of our sins, perfected us forever. And therefore, we're sanctified. Everybody Christ died for is sanctified. Sanctified by His bloody death. Sanctified because we died in Him to sin. And this sanctification by His death is not just the actual satisfaction of His people's sins on the cross, but it's the daily effect of it on our life. If you ever are enabled to abstain from one sin, or in some way live that is more moral or acceptable than others, it will be because you're sanctified. It will not be in order to be sanctified. Is that clear? It'll be because of what Christ has done. It'll be because of what God has made you in Christ. It's because of what you already are by His grace that is the motivating factor. And when you realize you haven't, when you realize how much you fail, when flesh rears up in your face and says you're just like you were, you're not helped a bit. The only thing that will cleanse your conscience is this offering, this sanctification that's in Christ. This grace of God that's in Christ, this blood that was shed for your sins on the cross. And then we're said to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God being the one who brings us the knowledge of our sanctification by the Father in Christ. How do we know that? When the Spirit of God sets us apart in regeneration, gives us faith, gives us life, causes us to know the truth and believe the truth. Peter said, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." We know that sanctification only because God's revealed it to us. Only because God's raised us to spiritual life. Only because the Holy Spirit has given us that gift of faith by which we believe what God says. Do I feel sanctified? Often not. But that doesn't change the fact that I am sanctified. in the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood washed me clean in the sight of Almighty God. One old writer said, you must believe and know that you're holy, not, however, through your own piety, but through the blood of Christ. He calls His people holy ones. And then we're said to be sanctified by the truth. Keep in mind now, set apart. We're sanctified by the gospel of Christ. The truth of God's gospel, the word of the truth, which is God's ordained means by which the Spirit communicates to us the blessings of God's covenant. That's how He does it. He sets apart. They preach the word, preach the gospel. And how many times do we read in the book of Acts? And some believed, and some believed not. There were some set apart. The gospel, He said, is a savor of life unto life, and a savor of death unto death to some. What separates? The gospel. Christ prayed in John 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they all might also might be sanctified through the truth. The only reason anybody believes, the only reason that the Holy Spirit gives anybody faith, is because Christ sanctified Himself to this work. And He said, Father, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified by Thy word, the truth. I don't stand up before men to say, well, you're saved and you're lost and you're saved and you're lost and all that. I don't go out preaching and saying, well, I know who's saved and who's lost and this and that and the other. I know the Spirit of God taking the gospel, He always sanctifies His people. He always sets them apart. Some people get mad. Some people get offended. Some people get hurt. Some people, after a certain length of time, they leave the gospel and all that. Not God's people. He set them apart by the truth. He's caused them to believe the truth. They read His word just like I've read His word. And so many times years ago, I would make an effort to explain this business of progressive sanctification, but I could not, because it's not in the Bible. You can't explain what is not. You can only tell people what God says in His Word, and they'll believe it. His people will believe it. We're sanctified in Christ by the Spirit of God, by the truth of the gospel, and we're said to be sanctified by faith in Christ. Faith is the gift of God. And the fact that all men have not faith, as the Bible says, some have faith, some have not faith, what makes the difference? God set them apart, and He gives them faith. But God's elect will have it. His sanctified ones will believe, because He will give it to them as a covenant gift of His grace. It says it's given to you to believe. Do you believe? Well, you say, well, yeah. No, do you believe the truth as it is in Christ Jesus? Do you believe the true gospel? Do you believe the Christ that is set forth in this word? Do you even know it? I'm so amazed that when I tell people what this book says, there are so many people that say, oh, my Jesus is not like that. And they are right. But the Jesus is His way. He's the sanctifier. Paul quotes what Christ said to him on the road to Damascus in Acts 26. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith which is in me." They're separated by God in this. They believe God. And then the Bible says that they'll all be sanctified holy. Oh, somebody said, there it is. There it is. We're going to be made. We're going to gradually grow, get right fit for heaven. We're going to improve. We're going to do all these things. But the truth is, God doesn't do anything halfway. When Christ died for us to sanctify us, He took on the whole job. Soul, spirit, and body. So when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonians, he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." H-W-H-O-O-L-Y. Completely. "And pray, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." In that moment, when our change comes, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when we are fully like Him, when every trace of Adam is gone, when the final promises of His covenant grace are applied to us by giving us a new body likened to His body, we're going to be sanctified holy, fully, body as well as soul and spirit. I think that day gets more appealing every day. Holy. Look over in Hebrews chapter 2. I think this is an important verse. Hebrews 2. And verse 11. "For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." They're just one. One in the sight of God. One in union with each other. They're just one. Is Christ everything before God? Yes. Well, so am I. "For this cause, He is not ashamed to call them brethren." You know, in closing, let me say this. God not only says things plainly, clearly. Christ is made unto us sanctification. Christ is. In His person and in His work. But He also illustrates very well too. There was a man that hung on the cross right next to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have all of his record, but it was a shady record. He was dying as a criminal, executed, put to death for his crimes. And not only that, not long before, he'd been blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ just like the other thief. And something happened to him. This is what it says in Luke 23. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I ask you, how much time did he have to improve? How much time did he have to get better? How much progress could he make? No. But because God had made him one of his children and had sanctified him into one that was hanging on that cross next to him through that very work and death that he was dying. He was as perfect for heaven as he ever could been if he lived 100 more years. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Oh, how often we've thought we wish we could make amends for some of the things we've done or some of the things we're doing. Oh, I wish I could undo that. How many times have we made promises to God? I'm going to do better, only to be a disappointment to ourselves. This is it. God has made Christ unto us sanctification. Sanctification. You say, well, what about growing in grace? You notice he equates growing in grace with growing in the knowledge of Christ. When we grow in grace, we grow to see more and more our need of grace. We grow to see that the only way we could ever be saved is by grace. We grow to see that all grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's made unto us. We see how grace reigns in righteousness through Christ's death. And ye are complete in Him. Well, you say, preacher, Might as well just go ahead and live like we want to. That's the problem. We do live like we want to. Really want to. And there can never be any hope for that. But thank God, He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Anybody think they know what next Sunday's message will be? May God give us confidence in Christ. We have assurance and confidence in Christ that He's all our sanctification. Then we'll seek to do for His glory all these other things that people have to say we seek to do to get into heaven. Follow after holiness. Well, the only holiness there is in Christ. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You so much. For Your grace to us in Christ. Thank You so much for what You made Him, for what He is to us, and what the Spirit of God has revealed to us. Give us rest for our souls, peace. We thank You that He's all and that we're complete in Him. We pray and thank You in His name. Amen.